Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's all we have, and it's our best. Amen. The Lord honors them who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So as we pour out our heart to Him, He pours back into us. Amen. I love that. I love that, we talk about the gates a lot. Our gates, enter into His courts with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. But there are also gates that we have. How many know our mind is a gate? Your ears are a gate. Your heart is a gate. Where we open the gates and allow the presence of the Lord to just be in us. But also, how many open the gate lets also the presence of the Lord out of us. So you didn't just come here to find Jesus or to encounter Jesus. You brought Him with you. Amen. Anybody bring Him with you today? Hallelujah. So when we come together, each stream becomes a river. And then the river begins to flow to the ocean. And then the ocean is so vast and so wide. How can we even comprehend the vastness of His beauty and of His glory and of His worship this morning? So I'm so very thankful. I'm encouraged in my heart this morning. I feel like everything that the worship team did this morning was right in line with what I want to share. And God's just that good, isn't He? Because we don't always communicate on what I'm sharing, but I'm just thankful for the mind of Christ. Thankful for Jeremy for sharing last Sunday. We got to catch it on our way home in the car, and got to get preached to on Sunday also. And so that live stream, it gets out there. I'm going to share some things this morning, and I shared it a little bit when we had a snow day on a live stream, and I thought I was just sharing it to my Word of Deliverance page, to you guys, right? And all of a sudden, all these people start commenting. And I'm like, how did they get connected to, I'm not on our page. I'm like out there. And I don't like out there. But anyway, we shared some things that Sunday that I felt like the Lord had laid on my heart. And I want to share some more with that. So if it sounds like I'm repeating myself or it's redundant to you, just take it a second time. How many know sometimes you need a second dose of, you got to take that cough medicine, and every now and then you need a second dose of that to, just clear those lungs, right? But anyway, I just want to share some things that I felt like the Lord had shared on my heart concerning this, and it seemed like the more that I began to share it, the more that I could see where it could go a lot of different directions. And so, who knows? But anyway, I don't know what all the Lord wants to say this morning, but I know that He's got our heart in mind as He speaks today. Do you believe that? That He wants to speak specifically to you today. So I want you to hone in on that part that speaks specifically to you. And I say quite often that if I would meet you at the door at the end of service and I would say, what did I preach on this morning? I would have a variety of comments of what maybe you heard, because what you hear and what you apply to where your heart is the art of setting a table. Amen? So we want to set a table so that we all are fed and all hear. And so, there's sometimes it's just like, oh, that's for me. That's what I'm holding on today. That's what I'm taking from it. That's what I, quite often if Dan and I go out to dinner, we come home with a doggy bag, and it's not for the doggy because we don't have a doggy, but we take our leftovers back home with us. We are leftover people. We don't mind leftovers. Some people don't like leftovers. We like leftovers. Thank goodness He likes leftovers. Thank you, Jesus, right? But sometimes you eat what satisfies you at the moment, and then you take it home, and when you get hungry again, you eat on that again. Amen? And so that's how the Word is for me. We eat of the Word and we partake of the Word, and then we get to ponder on it later, and we consume it again, and we consume it again, because it's just that good, right? It's just that precious. And so anyway, I want to share this morning out of Genesis chapter 28. And I'll have them go ahead and bring that up for me this morning. I have it in a little bit of a different format, maybe even than what I normally do, but that's okay. We'll go from that. Did I give you Genesis 28? Alrighty. And so I'm going to read out of the Amplified this morning. I originally talked about this being a sermon being called Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Anybody ever been between a rock and a hard place? Come on, somebody. But what I actually wrote on the paper this morning is a fearful and awesome place. How many know you can be in a fearful, awesome place all at the same time? Amen. Are we still thinking about that one? You can be in a fearful yet awesome place all at the same time. And I'm hoping that I can bring that back around to you. But has God ever placed something in your heart that is challenging to you, exciting to you, but also scary? Amen. Yeah, I think we're there now. There are times in our life where God begins to maybe enlarge your dreams. Maybe your life has started to take a shift in a different direction. Maybe, you know, there are some steps that you're about to take. Maybe there are things that are shifting, and they sometimes can be scary. They're uncertain ground, right? You ever walked on uncertain ground in uncertain territory, and it can be scary at the time, and yet there's something about that place that you know God has you in the palm of his hand. And so in that place, it can be scary, but yet it's awesome because, you know, if God has orchestrated it, he will bring it to pass. He will enlarge your capacity. He will make something good out of what seems to be a scary place. Yep. And so in Genesis chapter 28, I believe it is that, yep. And it says, now Jacob left Beersheba, never to see his mother again, and traveled toward Haran. And he came to a certain place. Everybody say certain place. And stayed overnight there because the sun had set or because it was dark. So let's stop for a minute and just tell a little bit of backstory on Jacob. Anybody know why Jacob is in this place? He deceived his brother. He had just left and fled from the place where he was in because he was an imposter. He had taken his brother's birthright. He had went before his father. He had dressed up in different clothing. He had presented himself as something that he was not. And because of that, he had to leave the place where he was. And he leaves Beersheba, and he goes to Haran, and he comes to a certain place. And can I also submit to you today that it might have been an uncertain place? Yeah. Uncertainty is tricky, right? It's risky. It's, you know, if you know something for certain, it's one thing. But how many know that it's the uncertainties in our life that make us fearful, stressed, right? Concerned, worried. Am I in the house with anybody this morning? I mean, sometimes, I don't know about you, whether it's in ministry. Maybe God is shifting something in ministry to you. Maybe it is in life changes. Maybe you're coming to the end of something. Maybe you're coming to the beginning of something. There is no uncertainty like having a new baby in the house. I heard the men say amen. I was thinking the women were really going to say. They hand you the most valuable investment of your life with no handbook, and they send you home with it in less than a day, or they send you two of them at one time. Sweet Jesus. There are some uncertain times in birthing something. Right? There are some uncertain times, like, what in the world have we done? Should have got the hot tub. But they're life choices, right? They're life decisions. There is nothing more precious and yet so uncertain. Because if you get that good child first, can we just talk for a minute? If you get that good child first, it will trick you into having a second child, right? And those children don't act like that first child did. That can be good or bad. I'm not pointing any fingers to anybody this morning. But how many know just about the time you think you have the formula, or you got it figured out and you're up for parent of the year, you get the next child, right? Or it switches, or maybe it's in job situations, or maybe it's in friendships, or maybe it's, you know, the things that we think we got figured out. Life takes curves, right? And there are moments of uncertainty in our life that we're not sure. Like, we trust God inwardly, we trust God, but our mind and our heart are not always in agreement. Do you know that doubt breeds unbelief? If you don't deal with doubt. See, we sometimes are doubtful. Thomas is considered and called for eons and ages the doubter, because he said, Lord, I believe, but I can't believe unless I touch the hands, unless I touch the side. Come on, he had to deal with the doubt, and he had to put his hand in the hand of Jesus, and he had to thrust it into his side, because the only way to remove doubt is to put your hands in the hand of Jesus and say, Lord, I trust that what you did on the cross of Calvary is enough for me. Come on, somebody. When I said this morning that he paid for it all, he took it all to the cross. How many know the scripture says, and by his stripes, you are not just saved, you are healed. It's not so much about what I did, but about what he did. And every time I take the focus off of what I did, off of what he did, and put it on what I did, it's an uncertain place. And so Jacob finds himself in a certain place, and he stayed overnight because the sun had set. How many know darkness, night had come, and he pauses in this place. And he stayed there. I don't know what your certain place is for this morning, but God has a remedy for it. And so it says in verse 2, taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head, and he laid down there in that place. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, your head or mind or your thoughts sometimes get into a hard place. He laid his head on a rock, and his mind was in a hard place. How many know that our thoughts and our mind is our biggest battleground? Can anybody in here say amen to me? I have said many times in my life I would take physical illness in some ways over the mental stress and anxiety. If you've ever stressed and you've ever dealt with depression or despair or anxiety or fear that grips you to the point that you can hardly breathe, I'm going to tell you, it is a battleground. But I'm here to tell you today that the shepherd will anoint your head with oil, and when he begins to anoint your head with oil, your cup will run over, because whatever passes through your mind or passes through your ear has to first pass through the anointing of the Holy Spirit of the shepherd, who will anoint your head with oil. How do you do that, Pastor? How do I get rid of that stinking thinking? How do I clear the cobwebs? How do I get past goodbye guilt? Goodbye fear? Goodbye shame? How do I get past that? I lay it into the arms of the shepherd that I shall not be in want. You say, oh, I thought church people didn't have to deal with that. I hear you. Come on, somebody. And so we sometimes get in uncertain places, and they're hard places. That our mind gets put in some hard places, and this is hard, this is difficult. If you've ever struggled with sickness, if you've ever struggled as a caretaker to take care of somebody, if you've ever struggled over finance, if you've ever struggled over your future, if you've ever prayed over kids and you've not seen it come to pass, you have had your head in a hard place. And so he stays there in that place. Night seasons allow your body to heal and opens your ability to dream. I want you to hear that this morning. It is in the night, right? Doctors in the house, one of the best things we can do for our body is sleep, rest. When our rest is gone from us, our body does not function, right? And so when we can learn to rest into the peace of who God is, our night season allows our body to heal, but it also opens up an avenue to dream again. Because he finds himself in an uncertain place where he's got some stuff behind him, but he's heading to another place. Amen? And in between those two places, there is uncertainty. But what he does, that he does do right, is he puts his head on a rock. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But first of all, I want you to know that sometimes our mind can be in a hard place. And it can be overwhelmed at times. It's very easy right now to look at a lot of the things that have gone on in our country and our minds be overwhelmed. Fires, floods, plane crashes. But can I tell you that God is working in the midst of all of that? You know how I know? Because when a crisis happens, I see the hands and feet of Jesus begin to jump in and take resources and begin to minister and to pray over our people and to step into action. Yeah, we don't like to see that, but how many know God can bring out of the ashes something that is beautiful? He said, I'll give you what? Beauty for ashes. I'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? That we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. There is a remedy. There is a hope. There is an oil that will anoint your head, that will anoint your spirit, that will anoint your thoughts, even in the hardest seasons of your life. But while he was there, he began to dream again. Anybody lost hope of your, lost sight of your dreams? Sometimes you question the dreams, but in that season, he began to dream again. What does he see? He sees that there's a ladder or a stairway placed on the earth, and the top of it reached out of sight. How many want to know what God has in store for you is out of sight? It's heavenly. It's beautiful. It reached toward heaven, and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending on it, going to and from heaven. And behold, the Lord stood above and around him. I love that. The Lord stood above and around him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father's father, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your descendants the land of promise on which you are lying. What now seems to be dark and hard and difficult, I'm going to give it to you for an inheritance. Your descendants, your kids, The generations shall be as countless as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south, and all families or nations of the earth shall be blessed through you and your descendants. What? Hold the bus. Wait a minute. What did he just say there to Jacob? Now, she just told us he's on the run. He's an imposter. He's a trickster. He tricked his brother. He lied. He was a conniver. That's what the name Jacob means. Trickster, deceiver, conniver. He's an imposter. He's in a hard place. He's in a dark season. And God shows up. Come on, somebody. I don't care where you have been. I don't care what your past looks like. I don't care what's behind you. I only care what's ahead of you. And when God shows up and begins to open the heaven to you, he has the ability to change the nature of who you even are. And he gives access to an open heaven. And all of a sudden, when heaven starts to meet your earth, you encounter the presence of God. Hallelujah. Wait a minute, Pastor, you don't know what my past looks like. Pastor, you don't know what the thoughts are in my head. Pastor, you haven't seen what's behind me. Thank God I have not, because I can preach to you this morning and say what's ahead of you is more powerful than what's behind you. If you will put your head on the rock who is Christ Jesus and allow him to anoint your head with oil, he will bring you to the place that he wants to bring you. Why? Why? Because Jacob deserved it? No. But because he's a God of covenant. And he made a covenant with Abraham. And he said, Abraham, before you even have kids, I'm going to make your descendants as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. And I am so convinced I'm going to do it, Abraham, that I'm going to walk through the blood covenant with you. I'm going to split the heifer. You're going to sleep. I'm going to walk through it, because it doesn't even depend on you, Abraham, but it depends on everything that I have promised. Does that mean we can live any old way we want to? No, because you know what happens when you start making your own choices? I need everybody to say delay. Come on. Thank you, Jason. Jason's going to preach with me this morning. Come on, when you start thinking you've got it figured out and you have misplaced. I mean, no, Jacob misplaced his identity. He didn't even know who he was at this point. Dad thinks I'm Esau. Mom thinks I'm the next one to lead. And here I am in a hard place with my head on the rock in the dark, and I have no idea where I'm going or what's coming up. You know what God does? He starts to remind him of who he is. He starts to speak into his life. He said, I am the God of your grandfather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And my covenant is bigger than your decisions. Come on, that ought to make you all shout this morning. Thank God that he is bigger than my decisions. He is bigger than when I have messed it up. He's bigger than when my mind's not in the right place. He's bigger than that, because we can have the mind of Christ. And every time I forget who I am, I do not access an open heaven. How many know Jacob is laying in the place of an open heaven? He said there's a ladder. There's an Amplified calls it a stairway, right? Now, I'm married to a builder, in case you didn't know that. There is a difference between a ladder and a stairway. I don't know about you, but I'm all about the elevator. Right? I'm all about the elevator. Why I say that is, how many know it's harder to climb a ladder than it is a stairway? But it's still better than the ladder, right? But there's something even better than that. It's called an elevator. He said he began to give him access. I like to look at it not just a ladder, but as a stairway. It's an open door, people. It is an open door because God is more interested in bringing heaven to you than he is about getting you to heaven. Now, that may sound odd to you, but you do not have to live in this earth in misery and despair and hope that after one more valley and one more hill, you get to go over yonder. But I want to live in a heaven that not only do I live in this earth, but I am in contact in heaven and have access to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are living below our level of opportunity. And you say, but when I get it all figured out, I'm going to climb that ladder. It's not how it works. Because you know what he does? They're ascending and descending. They're standing before the throne. And they're shouting your name. And they're saying things like, he thinks he's a trickster, but I think he's a leader. He thinks he's a deceiver, but I think he's a father of nations. He thinks he's guilty. I think he doesn't have to live in shame. He thinks that it depends on him, but I want him to know it depends on a covenant that was made before he was even in the womb. Come on, some of you all got some ancestors. You got some matriarchs and patriarchs in your family who have prayed you to this place. That what you are receiving and walking in right now in the fullness and blessing of God is because somebody else stood in the gap and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And God will take from the ashes of where we are and build a nation before us. Wait a minute. He would do that for Jacob? Can God really be bigger than our failures? And is his purpose really bigger than your hard place? Somebody better say amen. Can he really open the windows of heaven? You know, that scripture goes back to Malachi when he talks about giving. And he said, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. See, I believe God can open windows in heaven and pour blessings on us. But I believe in the new covenant that he wants to open you as a window and pour you out as a blessing that other people can't contain. I'm not looking for the window. I'm looking for the stairway. I'm looking for the ladder. I'm looking for the elevator. There's a difference between a window and a stairway. Come on, somebody. We sell God short of, you know, I know God can do it. I just don't know if he will do it. He does it. What if I fall? Well, what if you fly? Come on, somebody. What if he is really big as he says he is? What if he really is bigger than my hard place? What if he really is trying to orchestrate something in my life in the midst of Beersheba to Haran to Laban's house? You know what's waiting at Laban's house? Leah and Rachel and 12 kids. At least, and one of them that's about to house and be impregnated with the Lion of the Tribe of Judah that you just sung about. Come on, somebody. He said, get up and pray. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Out of those tribes, out of that place where Jacob is, he's about to birth a Savior and a Messiah. I don't have time for you, Jacob, to lay here in this dark, hard place and feel sorry for yourself. Get up. Get up out of where you are because the nations of the earth are waiting on you. Yep. You say, well, Pastor, I'll never go to the nations. Don't say never. Your voice might go there. Your feet might go there. Your finances might go there. Get up. Get up. There is too much at stake to stay where you are in a difficult place. He said, I'll open doors. I'll open the heaven. He wants to give you access to the heavenly places. How many know the scripture says we are seated with him in heavenly places? Don't give up your seat. Don't give up your seat. You are seated with him in heavenly places. As Pastor Shirley House speaking to you right now from the portals of heaven, preached a sermon and said, whatever you do, do not give up your seat. You are seated in heavenly places. His covenant and his plan is bigger than your human effort. However, God is just that good that he will meet you in that place. He's just that good that he will meet you in that place, but he won't leave you in that place. Aren't you thankful for that? Everybody says, well, yeah, but Jesus hung out with wine bibbers and he hung out with gluttons and sinners and harlots. Yes, he did. But you know what? When he left the room, they followed him. When he left the room, thieves like Zacchaeus stood up and said, I've been in the presence of Jesus today. I can't help myself, but I'm going to give back half of what I have to the Lord. There's something that pulls a response out of you and says, I cannot stay in this place. I cannot live any longer like this. I have been in the presence of greatness, and from this place I will go forward and be who he has called me to be. Come on, he will meet you there, but he won't leave you there. He tabernacles among us. They saw angels ascending and descending on Jacob, the rock, the house of God. I want to go a different way there, but I'm not going to this morning. I told you, I couldn't get it all in. He says, behold, I am with you and will keep careful watch over you and guard you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this promised land. His promise to Abraham was sealed in blood, and it was to his generations. Your faithfulness matters. You think, well, what I'm doing, does it make any difference? Does it matter? I want to tell you. How many know, by faith, Abraham... By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. Yep, yep. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, that's the miracle in it. Not that she received, that she conceived, but that she received strength to conceive. Yeah. Yep. I know what childbirth was like in my 20s. I don't want to know what childbirth is like in my 90s, but when God has a promise, you might think it's been on delay, but I want to tell you, by faith, Abraham laughed at the promise, but God brought to pass what he had promised. And because of it, the nations were blessed by faith. Your faith matters. Your faithfulness matters. His kids and grandkids would reap from the faithfulness and the stance that Abraham took. He said, I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. If it's not done, if you haven't received what he's promised, he's not done. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, it's time to wake up. To your calling. It's time to wake up to your identity. It's time to wake up to next level thinking. Can it be? Can this place be greater than where I've been and greater than I even know? He makes this statement without a doubt, without any doubt, the Lord is in this place. And I did not realize it. The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. What? Wait a minute. This place. Song I've been listening to on steady, constant play. Not, will you meet me here again? Not for a moment was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. I need to tell somebody here this morning or online, the Lord is in this place. He's in this place of transition. He's in this place of mind-boggling stress. He's in this place. He's in this place of promotion. He's in this place. Wherever your head has been laid on, what it's been laying on, is something difficult or hard. He's in this place. He's in this place this morning. He's in this place. And more, he's flooding this place. Come on, somebody. We got to wake up to the presence of the Lord is in our midst. I can tell you, in walking through grief and walking through sorrow and walking through sickness, I can see the hand of God in the midst of it. You know, Joe was sharing even with his dad, the circumstance. So much of what God did in that, it was the hand of God day and time after time. We went over the other day, if I can share this, and did the final committal of his dad. It was supposed to rain hard all day. We got a little drizzle. I hadn't made it back to Hancock and the rain started to pour. And I said, God, you are just that good. They say the devil's in the details. That's not true. God is in the details of your life. And he will move in the midst, even when it looks like chaos and sorrow. He will move. Wake up to your identity and an open heaven and access. He's not just trying to get us from here to there. He's trying to get what's operating there to operate in here. The Lord is in this place, and I did not even realize it. I did not know it. I didn't see it. Why? Because our focus, Jim talked about this morning, when your focus is on fear, you don't see. How many know the servant went out of Elisha's house, and he looks up and he sees his focus is on the army that is encamped round about him. But there comes a prophetic voice of somebody who's a little more seasoned that comes along and reminds him, wait a minute, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And when our focus comes off of what is fearful and becomes onto our open heaven, all of a sudden we see that the host of the chariots of the army of God is encamped around what we thought was going to take us down. But what's really going to do is going to take us to the king's court. Come on, it takes us, all of a sudden we realize there's something bigger than what I see here. God is doing something bigger than what I see. The Lord is in this place, and I did not realize it. So he was afraid and said, how fearful. This was the title of my sermon this morning. How fearful and how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is a gateway. It's an open door. It's an avenue of opportunity. It's a stairway. It's a window of heaven. This is the gateway of heaven. Now, where is heaven? You sang it this morning on the horizon. The girls are sharing it. Where does heaven start? It's from the earth up. It's from the earth up. There are altitudes. There are levels. There are dimensions. But how many know John said, I was called into the third heaven. What's he talking about? I believe he's talking about the most holy place. He's talking about the most holy place. You know what's in the most holy place? Nothing but the ark, the mercy seat in the ark, blood sprinkled. It's the tablets of Moses' tablets that's been covered. Aaron's rod that budded, that's now resprouted to the root of the stem of Jesse. And a pot of manna where Jesus stands up and said, I am the bread from heaven. Come on, there is a third heaven. There's a third dimension. There's something greater. He said, this is the gateway. Do you know what the gateway of heaven is? Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. I am the gateway. All that's ever come before me are thieves and robbers because they think there is some other way. Come on, somebody. His life, his blood, his covenant. It's the gateway to all that God wants to do in your life and wants you to possess. It's bigger than what you think it is. What God's leading us to as a church, in your family, your job, your career, your calling, it can be a fearful and yet awesome place. I believe he wants to take us to greater levels, an awesome place. I am the door, and we can enter his gates. How? With thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Well, I'll try to close with this. So Jacob got up. Everybody say, got up early in the morning and took the stone that he had made for his pillow, the place where his head had been, the place where his mind had been, and he set it up as a pillar or a monument to the vision in his dreams. And then he does this. He poured olive oil on the top of it to consecrate it. He named that place Bethel, the house of God. The previous name of that city was Luz. When your hard place becomes a sacred place. When the scared place, if you just rearrange those letters just a little bit, when the scared place becomes the sacred place and you begin to anoint that place. What I thought was a hard place now has been a monument and a testimony of the faithfulness of God. And I'm going to anoint that place. What once was hard is now a monument and testimony of an open heaven. You can curse it or you can anoint it. Mark this day as a memorial of a turnaround of God's favor in your life. It was called Luz. It was Luz. Luz means almond tree. Bethel means house of God. When the tree becomes a house, come on somebody, when the tree becomes a house, you will realize this has been orchestrated by God. It is an anointed place. I'm going to quit cursing it. I'm going to quit fussing about it. I'm going to quit worrying about it. I'm going to start anointing it. I'm going to start praying on it. I'm going to start looking back to it. I'm going to make it a monument and a testimony. I'm going to start declaring where God has brought me from and where he's taken me to, because what seemed like it was a good place, it was a tree. I mean, the tree becomes a house. And the house becomes the place of God's favor in your life. Because the tree, there's a house, and he tabernacled among us. It is the first mention of the house of God in the scriptures. Wait, there were no walls, no ceilings, no worship team, no nothing. Because God becomes the house. He said, I'm going to tabernacle myself among men. And I'm going to anoint this place, because it's not me just trying to get into him. It's about him getting in me. Come on, somebody. And he says, then Jacob made a vow. You can go ahead and stand with me. Then Jacob made a vow or a promise, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat, clothing to wear, and if he grants that I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God The stone which I have set up as a pillar, a monument, a memorial, will be God's house. It will be a sacred place to me. What was a hard place now becomes a sacred place. And of everything that you give me, I will give a tenth to you as an offering to signify my gratitude and my dependence on you. Wait a minute. No offering plates getting passed. Nobody's talking about finances. Nobody's sending out notes in the mail. Jacob gets up out of that place. He said, this place you brought me to, I can't help but sow into it. It jerks a praise up out of me. And when it does that, it makes me want to give. I don't have to give. Nobody asked me to give. But all of a sudden, I stand up and say, this place is sacred to me. And because of that, I'm going to give into what my future looks like. Because the nations of the earth are going to follow my example. Hallelujah. I don't know if that resonates with any of you this morning. It resonates to me because God is stirring my heart. And it is not a place of winding down. It's a time of cranking up, I'm telling you. God is in this place. He's in this place of transition. He's in this place of future. He's in this place where we are right here and now. I've been working in the back and I've been purging, pitching, trashing, dusting. And I come across some cassettes. Do you guys even know what cassettes are? Does everybody know what cassettes are, right? And I found some prophetic words on an old tape, and I found a tape player that actually worked. And when I stood back there in my office, I put those tapes in. And Bishop David Huston started to preach about Generation 42. I pulled another cassette tape out from David Hughes, Hello, My Name is Righteous. And I pulled another cassette tape out. It was prophetic words from the Zamoras, 2004, 2007. They called some people out by name. And I'll share with you later what the prophetic word was. I stood there in my office and I wept. Because I said, God, you're not finished. You're just getting started. And when I received the word, I thought, that can't happen. I don't see that. There's no way. And I want to tell you, I stand here today in fulfillment of that prophetic word. It's none other than the house of God. Surely the Lord is in this place. And that same accessibility is accessible to you today as well. We stand in an awesome place this morning. Get up. Wake up. Anoint it. And move on to what God wants to do in your life. If you're here this morning and you need us to pray with you, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you just, you know, in transition. Maybe you're whatever it is that you are, you know, that God is speaking to your life as we ministered this morning. As she sings, we'd be glad to pray with you as the children are in. Open the altar to our children as well. They need to encounter Jesus just like we do. Amen.